This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me. The Fontana Summer Festival kicks off tonight with its first concert. It features Sybarite Five. And here at WMUK, I'm very pleased to welcome two members of the quintet. They are violinist Sarah Whitney and violist Angela Pickett. So nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
Well, Sybarite Five is an exciting group I've had the pleasure of exploring over the last week or so. A standard string quartet plus a bass player. And unfortunately, Lewis must be sleeping in or he's practicing bass. He's got a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
But would you tell me the story of how the group was founded and what brought you all together?
Well, Lewis, who's the bass player, he was the founder of the group. The group started many years ago, actually at the Aspen Music Festival. Lewis was a student and wanted to play chamber music. And as a bass player, there weren't a lot of options. So he basically decided he would create his own group. So he got some friends together and it started just kind of playing on the streets of Aspen, just opening the cases, mm-hmm. Hoping people might throw in a couple dollars or a couple $100s. And that's actually how it started a long time ago. And it's, yeah.
The Aspen Music Festival brings together students from far and wide, international students as well. So where did you all come from when you came to Aspen?
Well, I grew up in Boston and did all my schooling actually quite close to here in Michigan and Cleveland. But others in the group came from further.
Angela.
Yes, I'm from Canada.
Are you?
I am. I'm from Newfoundland.
Wow, that is rare.
Yes, so I was a long way from home.
I grew up in British Columbia, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Extreme.
About as far away as you could get from Newfoundland.
Yes, yeah.
What town? St. John's?
St. John's, yeah. St. John's, Newfoundland. So I was a long way from home, but I think Sami is even further from home. He's from Cordoba, Argentina.
Argentina?
So, yeah.
Okay.
And then
there's Laura.
Laura is from West Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And then Lewis is from Sarasota, Florida.
Well, how do you all get together and practice now? Are you all living in the same area?
We all live in on the west side of Manhattan right now.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
How exciting. Do you pursue other projects as well?
We do. Sybarite is definitely the largest part of all of our careers, but we each have our own individual projects on the side.
Now, you said Sybarite, right?
Sybarite.
Sybarite. Okay, I was just checking because we've been saying Sybarite.
You are right. Sybarite. That's correct.
Okay, where'd you get the name?
Sybarite comes from Greek mythology, from the Isle of Sybaris, where they charmed their enemies by playing music.
Oh, wow. Feels like I should have seen that before. That's a terrific name, Sybarite Five.
It was also the name of Lewis's grandfather's boat, and his grandmother told him to name his quintet Sybarite. So,
well, many chamber groups decide when they're just getting started that one good way to gain recognition and to test themselves and have goals to work toward is to enter competitions. Mm-hmm. There are a few out there that are quite well-known. And did you go that route and did you have success?
Yes, we did. In 2011, we won the Concert Artist Guild competition, which was a really amazing thing for us and quite a game changer, I think.
Okay, so what other types of groups would you have competed against?
Well, that was the thing about CAG competition. It was one of the few competitions that we were actually eligible for as a string quintet because there are a lot of competitions for quartets or trios or sort of more traditional chamber groups. But CAG was just open. So there were soloists, there were
duos.
It was wide open.
And all different instrumentations. Mm-hmm. It was very diverse.
So I think they started, with a large pool of applicants and then they narrowed it down. And I think in the final, There was a wide range of groups in the final, mm-hmm. a few soloists, like I said. And
I feel a bit sorry for the judges, in a way, because they're comparing apples and oranges at some points.
Yeah, yes. But since the prize is management with Concert Artists Guild, I think they were probably able to look at sort of marketability of, there were probably some extra musical considerations.
What were some of the comments that they had that they gave you that said this group really rose to the top and deserves the prize?
I don't remember.
Comments?
Did we get comments?
I don't know if we actually got comments.
You just got the prize.
Well, there was three winners of the competition.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we got specific comments. No, we were just happy to win. And then comments, whatever.
I'm speaking with Sarah Whitney and Angela Pickett of Sybarite 5. They perform tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as the opening concert of the Fontana Summer Festival. And details are online at fontanamusic.org, or you can call the office line at 382-7774. We'll be talking about an album you recently recorded later this hour, but perhaps we could listen to something that you've already recorded and take a break for that. Would you introduce this track, which is Rebel?
Yeah, this track is called The Rebel. It was written by Pyotr Sevchek, and it was actually one of the very first pieces written for us.
That's The Rebel from Sybarite 5, an early recording. And here in the studio live, I have violinist Sarah Whitney and violist Angela Pickett. They've told us the story of how they came together at the Aspen Music Festival. And the double bass player, Lewis Levitt, convinced these string players to form a quintet featuring the traditional string quartet lineup plus double bass. Now, here's the question that occurs pretty much right away, is that you need to find repertoire, and it must be tempting with that enormous hundreds years old library of great string quartet literature just sitting right there, and you all are just one instrument away from that. Mm-hmm. But you need to find original pieces for mm-hmm. this combination. Mm-hmm. How do you make that work?
That was something that was our goal from the very beginning, I think, was to create a sort of a canon of original repertoire. Have we played any string quartet? No, we don't really play any string quartet music. We sort of leave that to the quartets. So at first there was a period where, this is a long time ago, where it was sort of like, well, we need to get concerts, but we don't have any repertoire, it was like a chicken egg yeah. situation. So we started actually with a lot of arrangements, and then slowly we started getting some original commissioned repertoire. So it's been a long process of accumulating this concert repertoire, but now we have a fair bit of original music, which we just actually recorded in our album.
Did anyone in the group start arranging when they hadn't before, but did by necessity start working that way?
A few of us have done arrangements.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. not a lot.
We've done some stuff all together as right. a group, and there are a few pieces that people have done individually. I think some of us are comfortable arranging, more comfortable than others, mm-hmm. and have done so always. So, yeah, we've done a little bit of that, but largely our arrangements are done by professionals.
Would you tell me about some of the talented composers and arrangers that are mm-hmm. working today that you are helping get recognition for, mm-hmm. but that deserve the wider attention? Who are some of them?
Well, some of our favorite composers to commission, I would have to say, first of all, is not necessarily favorite, but our most frequent commission is from Dan Visconti, who is an up-and-coming composer. He's based in Chicago?
I think so.
He's wonderful. And then there's Andy Akiho, who is a name that's coming up a lot more these days. Who else do we have?
We have a lot. A project we did last year, we premiered this year actually, called Look Back, Move Forward, where we chose six composers to arrange pieces for us inspired by Bach, because we decided that it would be cool if we had our own Sybarite suite. So each composer chose a movement. We have an Allemande, a Gigue, a Prelude, et cetera. Those six composers are all really young and talented, and included in no particular order. Let's see. Kenji Bunch, Michi Wianco, DBR, Daniel Romain, Mohamed Fairuz, Eric Byers.
And Leova.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you say that that was a project that you'd recorded or a project you're playing live?
We just recorded it. We are playing it live, and we just recorded it like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's part of our album that we did last week or two weeks ago. Yeah.
This is the album called Outliers, mm-hmm. right? And it's got a future release date. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to record?
We were in Brooklyn at an amazing studio called Systems 2.
And you have somewhat in-demand engineer, sound engineer for that?
Yes, we worked with Paul Zinman, who's done a lot of really incredible projects.
And he's at Marlboro right now,
Yes, he is.
He's busy recording all of their live concerts for the summer, so he can't make our first edit just yet.
Was it a process that was... sometimes it can be difficult, and sometimes it can go really fast and easy in the studio. How was this for you?
I've never had a fast and easy experience.
Yeah, I don't think that exists.
I don't know about some people.
Sometimes you look at the back of a jazz album and they say, recorded at midnight,
a jazz, maybe in a jazz situation where there's a lot of improv and you know, something strikes them and it goes well. For us, it was, we went a little overtime.
Yeah, it was long days, but...
We felt really good about it mm-hmm. in the end. It was just, you know, it's hard. 8 hours a day, sort of
five people
perfection.
With five opinions. And, you know, everyone wants to make sure they sound their best and the group sounds their best. Yeah. It's a lot of pieces.
We have a lot of takes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Five people and five opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, times five.
How does million. The how does the rehearsal process go? Do you have a system?
I don't know if we have. We don't have like a system really that, well, I guess one rule that we do have though is if someone has an idea, we all have to kind of try what they want to our best ability, even if we disagree with it.
Right.
And until this person is happy that they have heard what they envisioned that we have been able to recreate that as best we can. So we're very, I mean, in rehearsals, people are always bringing different things up. There's not one leader. It's a very, you know, all-inclusive process.
Do you generally agree when it's time to stop rehearsing that piece and move on to the next?
It depends on the day.
Yeah, we try to have rehearsal schedules. Sometimes we follow the schedules. Sometimes
we try to
have
a rehearsal breakdown schedule, but everything just always goes off schedule.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of schedules, mm-hmm. This concert for tonight at 7:30 is certainly not the only reason you're in town here in Kalamazoo. In fact, you'll be staying on for the full week of seminar or just a few days?
We're working with some students this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay. So you're the special guest artist of today.
I think so.
So this is an opportunity to interact with younger performers and musicians of high school age, mm-hmm. Still, you know, trying to master the stringed instruments that they play. I think stringed instruments certainly are some of the hardest and take the most time to get super secure with. What have you been in these situations before, working with young people?
Yeah, we have. We do quite a bit of outreach, actually. I think about 90% of the time we're on the road, we're doing outreach concerts surrounding our main performances. So it's something we've done quite a lot of and really love doing it. It's a really amazing way to, you know, get to know the community a little bit.
Yeah, I understand this is, you haven't really been playing in Michigan very much.
Mm-mm. No, we were in, was it last
Detroit?
Year? Last year.
Yeah, last winter we did something in Detroit and Midland. We had played a concerto with an orchestra in Midland.
Midland Symphony, yes.
Like a five-part concerto?
Yes, mm-hmm. by Dan Visconti, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we're lucky to have you here in Kalamazoo, then. Again, the concert's at 7:30 tonight, and details are at fontanamusic.org. It's the kickoff to the Fontana Summer Music Festival. Let's hear another track. I believe this one is a live recording, Muerte del Angel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is a Piazzolla track, right?
Yep, Piazzolla right. Tango.
Let's hear Sybarite 5. That's an exciting highlight, a live concert from Sarasota, Florida, they tell me, of Sybarite 5. We heard one of the tangos of Astor Piazzolla. My guests are violinist Sarah Whitney and violist Angela Pickett from the quintet Sybarite 5. You'll be performing tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Any Piazzolla on the program tonight? Or what else can you share?
Very, very likely that there will be some Piazzolla on the program tonight. In addition to that, there will probably be a lot of pieces from our new album by sort of young American composers and maybe some arrangements from Radiohead.
Yeah, tell me about the Radiohead arrangements, since that seems to have been a significant focus, mm-hmm. at least in years past.
That was from an earlier project when we were trying to really accumulate music at first, and we had to go by way of arrangements, and that was a band that everyone really loved and agreed on, and it started slow and then snowballed into an entire album's worth of Radiohead covers.
Why, if someone's not that familiar with Radiohead, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I would have to include myself. I know Thom Yorke's voice when I hear it, and I know it has a sense of open space in a lot of their music. What makes that adaptable? Why is that a smart thing to
use? Well, I think the music of Radiohead is really complex, and there's many layers, and I think what we've found is it just translates really well to five parts, and especially the arrangers we've worked with have really been able to capture that incredibly. And I think that also has to do with it. The first arrangement we got was called Pack Like Sardines from a Crushed In Box by Paul Sun-ho Kim, and he had just captured every element of the song and found a way to translate everything to stringed instruments, which was incredible. So we kind of were just hungry for more. We said, well, if you can do this, what else can you do? And I think that, yeah, so the combination of, you know, the excellent arranger that we first worked with that kind of just made Radiohead so exciting for us to play on our instruments, and then the music itself is just really complex. And
it's very rich harmonically and rhythmically. So it's interesting for us as, you know, classical musicians. I think that actually Radiohead, Johnny Greenwood and Thom Yorke, or Johnny Greenwood at least, has some classical background, and
and he's composed symphonies and written
film scores and stuff.
Yeah.
So
film scores. Those are fun too. Have you worked with film?
We haven't. It's something that we've always sort of talked about. We would love to get a call from Hollywood.
Sure.
But we haven't. But yes, that would be really fun.
It's such a surprise to realize that it's strings only in the Bernard Herrmann soundtrack to Psycho.
Yes, someone sent that to us recently.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Well, so, you know, put it on the
maybe
to-do list.
Exactly.
That would be quite the surprising encore to hear the shower scene from Psycho. So a really rich, mixed bag of pieces coming to Kalamazoo audiences tonight from Sybarite 5. We've talked a little about Lewis Levitt, the bassist, who was kind of the founder and generator of the group. Who are some of the other members we haven't yet talked about?
Well, there's our cellist, Laura Metcalf, from West Hartford, Connecticut. And Sami Mardinian from Cordoba, Argentina, who's another violinist.
All right. And do you all search for and bring music to the group?
Sami really brought us the tangos.
Sure.
He plays tango a lot, and so it's really amazing to have him in the group, and he brought us the Piazzolla tango. So we all kind of have different backgrounds, actually. In our training, we're all classically trained, all went to school for classical performance, but kind of each bring different elements and different styles to the group.
Mm-hmm. Do you, Sarah, have another sideline of a different style or a different group?
Maybe. I studied jazz in college, actually. And I started, in undergrad, I started studying jazz and kind of continued my jazz studies on the side throughout my schooling. And I play a lot of electric violin actually as well on the side and do a lot of improvising. So that's kind of my thing.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
I have great admiration for a group of wind players, Imani.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. We know those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. They do such a perfect job of using their classical training, but also, challenging themselves with improvisation in these pieces. Valerie Coleman, a great arranger and player of flute and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's there are many groups these days that simply won't stay put.
For me. Blurring the lines.
Yeah, a lot of blurring the lines these days. And Angela, you mentioned fiddling in the Irish style.
Yes.
Does that help or hurt when you switch back to classical?
I think everything helps. I don't think it hurts. I think just, every style informs the other. And when I play, violin or fiddle, it's still sort of keeping my fingers busy in a way that when I come back to viola, I often find is helpful, actually. So...
Oh, that's right. You would be using an actual violin or...
Yeah.
Yeah. And we probably should tell listeners that violin and fiddle are the same instrument.
Yes.
Just the style of that which you play.
Correct. Yeah.
So is there any way in which you know that playing in a folk style has actually improved some aspect of classical playing?
I'm not... Like I said, I like the feeling of coming back to classical music after playing fiddle music because, as you know, fiddle music involves a million notes, and sometimes as a violist, I don't have very many million notes. So I always feel like I'm in really good shape when I come back to viola after playing fiddle because I've been just busier, But
it's a million notes in one position.
Right. That's right. That's right. In one position. So, there are strengths to each style of playing that sort of help the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And between jazz and classical, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. I think that, I look back on my training or what I did, and I think studying the jazz was actually the best thing I ever did. Mm-hmm. Because I think it kind of opened my mind in a way. And it definitely helped my classical playing. Mm-hmm. I think, when you're improvising you're creating everything on the spot, and you're being creative in this kind of in amazing way. And, you know, in classical plays and classical music, obviously, you know, you're recreating. But also, I think there is obviously an element of, you know, making that your own. And I think it opened my mind in a way, took a little bit of the pressure off. I think growing up as a classical musician, constantly recreating and doing exactly what was on the page, you know, is what I was so trained to do. And then the jazz kind of, you know, gave another look at that, which was really cool. So, like Angela said, I think they kind of informed the other. I mean, mm-hmm. not that I want to play classical music like a jazz player, but I think having both ends of the spectrum is really helpful.
I think the improvisation yeah. sort of brings an element of spontaneity mm-hmm. back to the classical stuff when you're playing it. So, you know, for me at least, you know, I would play one of our pieces 100 times and always do the same bowing or the same fingering. And then one day after playing fiddle music, I'm like, wait, why am I doing this? Let me do it this way today. You know, just changing things up. And like Sarah said, opening, it really opens up your mind.
Yeah. And I think the element of spontaneity and also kind of an element of courage, you know, because mm-hmm. the jazz, you're trying things and some of them will work, some of them won't, but it's just that kind of, you know, in jazz, there's that idea that
nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, but mm-hmm. it's a very helpful thing to have in your brain.
When you have some very nervous high school players in front of you today, looking away from the music, is that something you might, something you might have them do?
Oh, definitely. I think that we get stuck in our music sometimes mm-hmm. and especially when you're playing an ensemble, you know, the communication is so important, whether it's eye contact, body movement, you have to get out of your music. And yeah, definitely.
In folk traditions, mm-hmm. tunes are memorized. Mm-hmm. You just pick them up by ear and play them by ear. Have you ever applied that to some of your scores?
I would argue to say that we probably have about 80% of our repertoire memorized.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Just from playing it so many times.
Yeah. And some people, I think, on stage sometimes don't use music. There's been, you know, times where I know one of our encores where I couldn't find it and I said, whatever, I'll just play it. You know, like, so it's happened. Yeah.
Now that sounds like a confident group. Sybarite 5 performs tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's a Fontana Summer Festival presentation, in fact, the kickoff of the series of Fontana's Summer Festival. Details at fontanamusic.org. And could we hear some Radiohead now? This one's 15
Step.
Could you give me a little more introduction on it, Angela?
15 Step. I don't know what to say about it. It's arranged by Paul Sun-ho Kim. And I think you'll hear that sort of rhythmic interest that we were talking about. It's not your typical 4/4 pop song. It's actually in 5/4.
Once again, that's Sybarite 5 kicking off the Fontana Music Festival tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Details at fontanamusic.org. And Sybarite 5 also has a website, Sybarite 5, where you can hear many of the tracks we've listened to today and keep an eye out for the release of Outliers, which you recorded in Brooklyn mm-hmm. just a couple weeks ago. Now it's sitting on the shelf waiting to be to-do remastered. Yes. So what happens after you leave Kalamazoo? Is the group going on to
after other shows? After we leave here, we actually have a break.
Well, yes, but we go to Interlaken tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
Tomorrow, right?
Yes. Yeah. We don't have a break yet. We're going to Interlaken to play tomorrow, work with the students there. And
then we have a break
until September. We usually scatter in August and early September to do different projects. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we come back together in September. We're playing with an opera company in New York called Onsite Opera, which should be fun.
Tell me about that. Onsite?
Onsite Opera. So I think they use different, they don't have a home per se, but they use different locations. And we're playing two short operas with them, which we don't have music for yet.
Yeah, not quite yet.
Sure. It's going to be our first time working with them, but it'll be great. We're used to, we've played with a couple different opera companies and done scenes in the past. So we'll do that in September. And then in October, we start our usual sort of touring season.
So that's how chamber groups are often set up, a heavy fall-winter season, mm-hmm. and then maybe mm-hmm. a festival or two in the summer?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've had a pretty busy last couple months, which has been great, but the summer vacation's always nice, too.
Yeah.
Again, listeners will hear Sybarite 5 tonight at 7:30 p.m. You're going to be playing a variety of things, some of which were written for you. Mm-hmm. New music is what we've heard today is tonal and mm-hmm. Exciting, but not necessarily like challenging or dissonant. Mm-hmm. Do you have some things on the more extreme side like that?
Most of our stuff is very accessible for the listener. We do have a few pieces that,
push
the boundaries
a little further
bit
than what we've heard this morning. But yeah. This is pretty representative. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like being, you know, pushing yourselves as instrumentalists to techniques that don't necessarily fit within the standard classical range?
Oh yes, mm-hmm. definitely. I mean, especially with the Radiohead stuff, we've learned a lot of, I guess you could say, extended techniques.
Percussive techniques.
Yeah, a lot of percussive mm-hmm. techniques and explored that, which has been really fun.
All right. Any way in the future, any crazy ideas for projects or albums coming up?
We've barely recovered from recording the last one.
That's what August is all about.
Yeah,
you know,
planning.
Yeah, brainstorming.
Sit in a hammock.
We actually have we're going to have a meeting in August about program offerings for future seasons.
Yeah.
Well, please include Michigan in your possibilities for next, for future tours. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much for coming in, Sarah
Our
and
pleasure.
Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's finish up with a little more Radiohead. This time, Sarah, you tell us about Black Bend.
Oh, Black Bend is actually not a Radiohead tune. Black Bend was written by Dan Visconti, who is, as I think Angela mentioned, a composer we've worked with quite a lot.